Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. Well, I am excited, excited, excited about what is going on. Oh my goodness, there are so many, many, I tell you, awesome, awesome things going on. So I hope you got that calendar out, and I hope you are really ready to move forward on to bigger and better, bigger and better. So today, now, all this week is going to be a dynamic week here on the Coach LaLisa Show. We're going to be telling you about workshops, events, places where you can go get help, get training, get the support, the encouragement that you need. I mean, we're finishing up. We're coming into the last bit, well, the last weekend and the last bit of the month for Breast Cancer Awareness. Now, it's not just Domestic Violence Month, but this is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And normally, Breast Cancer Awareness was overshadowing domestic violence, but I think for the first time, at least right here on Facebook, domestic violence has really overshadowed cancer, breast cancer. I don't have the exact statistics. I know the incidences and the cases of breast cancer and death that can be generated from breast cancer, and also the instances of domestic violence, which we do have the statistics on that. One in every 4 seconds, a woman is being battered. One in every 4 seconds, a woman is being battered, 4 to 9 seconds. And also, there are a lot of deaths that can come from domestic violence. And so these statistics are very, very high. Now, both breast cancer and domestic violence, they both are dear to my heart. One with domestic violence, having been a victim of domestic violence, partner violence, have been a victim of date rape, have been a victim of rape, and a victim of sexual assault and molestation. That's very, very important to me. I mean, I'm hitting like 10 different areas as it relates to domestic violence, intimate partner violence, teen dating. The first act of domestic violence against me was as a teenager, when I was age 17, but that's because I left my mother's home at that age, and I moved in with my abuser, and so a lot of times that can happen as well to a lot of young girls who want to get away from home so quickly or so desperately, and sometimes having to, maybe at home they're being abused as well, physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically. Maybe there's just neglect in the home, or maybe, mama has a problem of some sort, or daddy, or whomever the child is being given care by. So there are some certain circumstances why a girl would run away from home. That was sort of my case, but my case goes much, deeper than that, because it was the effects from the molestation. Okay, so being molested at an early age, as I was, having kept it a secret all those years, that I was affected in other areas, okay? The molestation then triggered various negative behaviors. And one of those negative behaviors, outside of rebellion, outside of, doing poorly in school and other things, one of those behaviors was then to leave the home prematurely. And what I mean by that is when you're not ready to go out on your own. You hadn't even finished high school, didn't have a job. So now, in the end, ended up dropping out of high school, but had already dropped out prior to moving out, which was part of the situation, because I was told that, or made to believe that if you dropped out of school, you had to, kind of leave that household. You're pretty much, you're grown. And, you know, I grew up in the time where a grown woman felt like, well, if you're going to be grown, you're not going to be grown under my house, you know, that kind of thing. There's only going to be one grown woman here. And so if you're going to be grown and do what you want, then you should be out there doing what you want and doing it on your own. So, but no, we have absolutely no, you know, animosity, you know, because she, my mother made that clear from the get-go. She didn't just bring it on me at 17. So I knew this from the 7th grade, okay? I knew it from the 4th grade. But because of the molestation, I was not thinking clearly. You know, it's hard to think clearly when you're being violated like that, and that's such a, you know, it's not that other abuses are not horrible as well, because they are. If a parent is physically abusing a child, that's horrible. So it's all horrible, though. It's all horrible. But, so yeah, so there's going to be a lot of good things going on over the next few weeks. I know that today we have, tomorrow, Tuesday, don't forget to tune in tomorrow, Tuesday. Tomorrow we will be talking with, again, on Tuesdays, remember, every Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, we have Mr. Terry Benjamin here to talk on his topic, healthy aging and lifelong learning. And so he will be talking about how to get your groove back, how to keep your groove, so to speak, for those 60-plus people. And as if you want to listen to the archive from last week, from last Tuesday, and you can get, you know, a feel for what he's going to be talking about, but just a powerful, dynamic discussion, and we will be, you know, talking back and forth. So it will be an interactive show with us, but we want you to interact as well. So we're going to give you time. We're going to open up the phone lines toward the end of the show to give you an opportunity to ask questions. Now, you know, he's into knowledge. So when you come, you got to have your pen, your paper, be ready to write down the various books and authors that he's going to be dropping on us, because, you know, he loves to do that. Tomorrow should be beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We should have the new computer up and running with all the latest technology and the power. So we should be able to definitely have the chat room open each and every morning. And it's just some great things. We're just thankful to God, though. We are thankful that God has given us another day, has allowed us to see another opportunity. Another opportunity to be all where we need to be. Yes, okay. And so, what else is going on? We have, I want to publicly thank each and every person who came out to the Applebee's fundraiser breakfast. We thank you, we appreciate you. And we had great success. Now, we're doing it all over again on December the 17th at 8:10 a.m. Please go to my Facebook, inbox me. The pancakes are delicious. The scrambled eggs are delicious. The sausage is delicious. Fabulous. You cannot beat it anywhere. $10. Come out, support what we're doing. At the same time, network, the networking that was going on is very, very powerful. So please put that on your calendars, December the 17th. That's right there on 22 Morris Avenue. Now, also, for those of you Jersey City buffs, if you live in the Jersey City area, we are also doing Applebee's Flapjack fundraiser for Urban Angels Project Jumpstart. That's our welfare to work program there in Jersey City. We're also doing one at the Applebee's right there on 4440, not too far off Commuter Paul Avenue. So Applebee's is right there. So also we'll be there November the 12th, Saturday. We get there at 8 to 10 p.m. 8 to 10 a.m. at the Applebee's right there on 440, 701 440. So same ticket price, $10. So please support us. We'd love to see you there. And this is our regular fundraiser that we have a couple of times a month. And so, you know, it takes funds to do the things that we do, to get the word out, to get the materials out, to travel, to do all that we need to do to empower others, to teach them, to train, motivate, and educate. It takes money. You got gas money. You have hotel money. You have all the, you know, you have to do training materials. You have to make copies. You have to give out books. And right now we're raising money to get books for women in the prisons and the halfway house. We're getting them copies of some books, so we need the funds. So please support us, and God will bless you even the more. Yes, He will. He will rain down supernatural blessings on you. Some of you know that God has ordained you to sow seed into good ground. We are going into the prisons. We're going to turn these people's lives around. Every woman that I know that has been a thief or a prostitute or dropped out of school, when they read the book, Release Your Power, it helps them to move to another level. So we want to get the book in their hands, and I'm telling you, God is just doing big supernatural stuff. Prisons are going to be opening. It's going to be just like when Peter and John was in that prison praying at midnight. God is going to be opening up the doors for the people, letting the chains come off of them. So we are. So now you can see why I'm so excited. So excited. But don't, you know, I know, don't try, you know what, you got to be you. Don't go and try to be anybody else. You know, people need to stop that. Stop trying to be someone else. Here's the problem with trying to be someone else. You'll never be 100% because it's not original. All right? It's just like a copy. You can always, most of the time, you can always tell the copy from the original. There's always a mark or something on the original that won't be on the copy. So don't try to be someone else. You gotta be yourself. And listen to the Holy Spirit for you. Because, you know, that's just like, who was it? Someone tried to give David their armor to fight. You cannot fight in no one else's armor. You got to have your own stuff. So, people, please, I beg you, don't try to be someone else. Try to be 100% you. As you get ideas and as you go about, you know, we can have role models, we can have mentors, but you gotta be you. You gotta be who God, what He made you to be. And when you do that and you discover all of your talents, your gifts, your skills and abilities, and you be able to use them. But I know that someone God has told you to assist or to sow seed into others, you know. God is going to give you the reward that comes from being obedient to what He has called you to do. Not, you're not going to necessarily get rewards for all that you tried to do, but all that He called you to do that you did. You know, I'm like this. Do what He called you to do first. Get that done. And now, with your extra, like with your free time, now you can go do what you want to do, you know, extra stuff. But get that call to stuff first. And that takes seeking God's presence. And then we have this October going to Cleveland, Ohio, to be with my good friend Denise Jenkins that I met back in 2003 in an elevator. I was standing in an elevator, met this woman, didn't know her from a hill of beans. She didn't know me, but the Holy Spirit connected us. And ever since that day, immediately after that day, she and I developed a term called the Holy Ghost hookup. There are people that you are not going to hook up with them without the Holy Ghost being involved. The Holy Ghost has to put you and that person in the right place at a right time. And when I say Holy Ghost, because the relationship from it will become supernatural. It won't be your every night. We can meet people anywhere and everywhere, but it won't be a supernatural connection.
The connection that I have with Denise Jenkins has been supernatural. The things that we've done together, the things we've shared, the ways we've helped each other are not things that a normal person who knows you would do. Because, you know, a lot of times, like with Jesus, when people know you, you see, they hold back on helping you a lot because they remember things that you used to do, or they remember things that you've done or things you've done to them, and it hinders them from really helping you, or their coming into your life isn't really genuine. Remember, a lot of thieves and robbers came into to where the shepherd keep the sheep as well. And even the Bible says in the church, a thief and robber is also coming in, the wolf. You know, so everybody that's your friend, that says they're your friend, they're not your friend. And here's another thing I've learned the hard way. Everybody who says that they want to help you and they get close to you, they're only there to steal. They're there to hurt. They're not there to help you. But they have to pretend that they want to help you. Other than that, you wouldn't allow them to get close to you. You see, you're not going to allow the enemy to get close if you know they're the enemy. So they have to pretend they're a friend, you know. That's why Jesus, when he told Peter, he called Peter Satan. He said, "Get thee behind me." And this was shortly after he had told him, "You are the rock that I'm going to build my church on." But yet he told Judas, who not many days forth would sell him out for a piece of silver. He called Judas friend. So you see, you don't really know sometimes who our friends are and who our enemies are. The very people that we think are trying to help us can also hurt us. But the very people that we think are there to hurt us can also help you. And so, you know, we just let God deal with it, you know, and we just keep moving. But I tell you, and I know that's a major lesson for somebody. You know, the Holy Spirit is just moving, and I don't know who that's for, but I know that is for someone, especially when you begin to operate in the things that we're operating in, this time period that we're operating in, where we're going, you know, where the Holy Spirit is moving on the lives of people to get them to be set free from their bondage and their strongholds and their burdens. And it's a lot of stuff is happening. And so, you know, the enemy is upset because, you know, he doesn't want people set free and delivered from the various illnesses and sicknesses. And we have to be careful and watch out for the attacks, because the attacks will come. Remember what happened to Peter. You know, Satan was trying to sift him like wheat. You know, and I heard someone say that when you sift wheat, you see a sifter? A sifter pulls wheat apart like bit by bit, you know, separates it. So, in other words, Peter was targeted to be pulverized. But thank God Jesus prayed. He said, "But I pray that your faith does not fail you." And after you have been converted, now go back and strengthen your brethren. So, but don't forget the converted piece, people. Don't just, now that Satan's attacked you and destroyed you, now you're ready to get up and, you know, go and strengthen, but make sure that you're converted first and understand that so you can really, really, really help people. So we're just excited. Again, you know, like my good friend, the Cuban guy, he does a lot of work in helping and motivating people. He taught me some powerful things back in somewhere around 2002 when I got a chance to interview him and for our College Bound program at Essex County College. And then I brought him in as a speaker to our Toastmasters club. And he went in as a speaker. So that's another thing. You know, you got Toastmasters International out there for all you speakers. And I was very involved in Toastmasters for a time, which I may get back involved. But I've been an area governor. I've served, you know, very closely with the district governors and the lieutenant governors and Mark Laverne and others and Beverly Oliphant. Fred, I think it was Fred Jackson, but no, I'm not sure. I think that's a singer, right? Fred, and we used to go down to the school there in back of St. James, AME Church at the preparatory school there, and we would conduct public speaking classes for the ninth graders, and that was a lot of fun, so I got to do that. So I've just done some really, really, really fun things in my life. And what was so awesome, again, you heard me just share the story before, but what was so awesome about Toastmasters is that my mother had been a Toastmaster, and my mother had won the Speaker of the Month Award at the Toastmasters that she was in, and she worked for the IRS, and that's where they had their meetings. And at the meetings, apparently, you could win, you know, Toastmaster of the Month or Speaker of the Month, and they would give you a plaque, and then you would allow that plaque to sit in your office at work or whatever for the month. It also was a way to attract in other employees. But I remember my mother would, you know, be at home working on her different speech, or I might hear her on the phone speaking with her colleagues or friends or whatever about Toastmasters. So in my mind, Toastmasters is this elite organization, and I always thought my mother was very smart, that only the smart people get in. And so in my mind, there was nothing I ever sought to attain, because I'm thinking, I'll never get into an organization like that. Are you kidding? So I just never even dreamed of it, right? And then my sister that I do the radio show with on Sunday, I always thought she was real smart. So again, when she got a job working with, probably when she was working with the airlines, and they had a Toastmasters club there or whatever, she joined, you know, of course, you know, want to be like Mama. So she joined Toastmasters, and she won Speaker of the Month. Now she's got the plaque. So now I'm thinking, okay, they are so smart. That's so great. They both did that. I'll never do that. And lo and behold, my another sibling, Holly, who was working for the SBA in Cleveland, Ohio, back in the 90s, somewhere around 97-ish, and she was working there. How come she also thought she was very smart, and she is. She joined Toastmasters. Now, I don't know if she won the Speaker of the Month. She's also an excellent speaker. I don't know. I can't remember. But here was someone else in Toastmasters in my family, all smart, and I'm thinking, not even thinking about Toastmasters, right? It was never a desire of mine. And then I was working at Continental Airlines, but by this time, people had already told me that I was a speaker. I was already doing a lot of speaking, and I was at Continental Airlines, and they did not have a Toastmaster at all, the whole company, no Toastmasters in that big, giant organization. And so I went on the Toastmasters website, remembering my mom and my sister and what have you. I went on to the Toastmasters website, sent away for information. They sent information to me, but they sent it to the headquarters in Houston. So when the people in Houston got a hold of it, they weren't really sure what to do with it, because no one there had ordered it. Well, when I called, they still held on to it. They didn't do anything with it, but they held on to the package. But when I called looking for my paperwork that they had promised me, Toastmasters, they told me, well, we sent it out, you know, months ago, blah, 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 blah. So they sent me the paper to the office here in Newark, and I got with Mike Jones and Dee Cunningham, and we put together a letter, and we proposed to the general manager or the head of HR, whoever we needed to get approval for to start a Toastmasters group. And so when we sent the paperwork in to start the group, the headquarters said, oh, yeah, we got this paperwork way back when. And so it was a big thing, so it was cool. So we launched the first Toastmaster chapter for Continental Airlines right there in Newark Airport Terminal C. And Mark Laverne out of New York, I can't think of the guy's name who was the district governor at the time. Can't think of his name, but Mark Laverne was up there. Mark Laverne had just finished being district governor. Well, Mark Luverne, Beverly Oliphant, and her husband, they were both at the PSENG chapter. The guy from Prudential, who they had a chapter here in Newark, and the Blue Cross Blue Shield, that was Fred. Oh, yeah, I had some other faces. So they all came, about seven of them. They came marching into Continental. We set up the first meeting. It was a huge success. And we kept it going for a while. But then they were redoing Terminal C. So we had to move out of the conference room. And they moved us into Terminal A. So we had some meetings over in Terminal A. Logistically, it didn't work as well. Because remember, the airport's kind of secured. So you had these people coming to the airport. And, you know, parking, logistics. But we did good for a long time. It was an awesome club. Continental had a big communications thing. So we were able to get the word out through Continental's media to all throughout the whole Continental. That's people overseas. So people knew that when they were flying, and, you know, airline employees fly a lot. So when airline employees would fly into Newark for whatever reason, if they were there, on the day we were having a meeting, we encouraged them to come in. So I met people from all over the world. It was truly, truly awesome. The Toastmasters loved starting, you know, they love starting clubs. So they loved starting a club with an airline. But I ended up moving from that airline and leaving the company. But they kept it going. I don't know what happened to it, but they kept going. And they opened up other Toastmaster clubs and other Continental stations around the country. And then I would be interested to see, though, I should go onto their website and see what is Toastmasters doing with Continental. And then after that next job I had shortly after that, we opened another Continental Airlines. But so what am I saying here? I'm saying that you'll be surprised places that you go. You'll be surprised at your life. That's why I want to get the word out to these women, especially women, but men too. I'm on a campaign for 1 million women changed. We want to change the lives of at least 1 million women. And we're going to be going to prisons, and we're going to be going around doing this. And I'm excited about it. And I'm telling people about it. You may, you know, get an idea and say, oh, I want to do that. Fine. Go and do it. Please do. There's enough prisoners for all of us. There's enough prisoners for all of us. But, so we're doing great, great, great. God has just been so good to us. And also, we're going to be, you know, doing a topic for people who want to move forward, for people who want to move forward in their life, and they want to keep going. They want to keep going, even in the face of obstacles. People who want to move forward and keep going. So we're about out of time. At 90 seconds, I mean, tell you, time surely flies when you're having fun. But don't forget, tomorrow, don't forget to tune in to the Coach Lalisa Show. Right here, we have Mr. Terry Benjamin, as we stated earlier, talking about healthy aging and lifelong learning. Now, we're only doing a half-hour show today, but we will be here tomorrow for a solid hour. So please, if you have any comments that you would like to share, you can inbox me right there on Facebook. If you are in the New Jersey area and I'm looking for women to come out tonight, 7 p.m. To my home, and we are going to network, but we also have some great information we want to share with you. Please come. You can bring a friend. You can inbox me on Facebook. If you need to get my address, I would love to see you. I'm going to have a little refreshment for you. It's going to be fun. So anyway, that's all we have time for. See you back here tomorrow. And don't forget, phenomenal preparation breeds phenomenal success. And you are going to be awesome, powerful day. This has been Coach Lalisa right here on Blog Talk Radio.